Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
You got a cold?
No, I don't. I'm good.
Your melodic voice sounds like it may have a little bit of phlegm.
That's nasty outside.
It is nasty outside.
But today they were releasing this?
It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So that was my next question. Why are we talking about regrets on Christmas Day?
Well, I mean,
because somebody listed it on the 26th, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
So, Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah. Let's talk about things you have messed up.
Yeah, let's talk about regrets of pastors.
Yes.
Let's put you in the holiday spirit.
Yeah,
with this,
and I know, you know, there have been pastors who've had regrets, and as a result, they don't have churches, so they call Vanderblumen.
Wow, we're like Scrooge and Marley over here.
Oh, the dog.
No.
Oh, no, you meant in the Christmas Carol.
Yes.
That
Marley. Did I get those names right? I think that's right.
I think that's right,
I'm looking too at Amy J, and I'm not getting any feedback.
Oh,
she says yes.
Okay.
All right.
Who's Tiny Tim?
I don't know.
No. Okay.
Art.
That's sorry, funny. Art. I don't care who you are. That's
sorry.
Funny. That's funny.
He's going to be mad at me. All right. Anyway, you mentioned Vanderblumen Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like your church find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vanderblumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
I realize when we are doing these six regrets, seven or six, whichever one you want to call it.
Yeah, six most common regrets.
The six most common regrets of pastors. I saw that when we were doing this, that the answers or the responses largely came from Church Answers. Some of them
yes.
came from the blog post and other places. But we've asked Church Answers this question. But I have had every one of these regrets as a pastor, which says something about my ineptitude, I think it would.
Well, it just says that you had a normal pastoral experience.
Yeah, normal.
Or a
conglomerative. Yeah.
I don't, that's a word.
Aggregate but, or
yeah.
something like that. Yeah, I have every one of these. You have a story that you have heard about me on every one of these, but this is not about Rainer. It's about what pastors are telling us. And hopefully the Christmas gift that we'll be giving you is that you will learn from these and go in another direction.
Well, so it's also how to overcome them.
Yeah.
So and so we're gonna Christmas, end hopeful.
Christmas is all about overcoming. So this is about overcoming.
All right. So number one, I wish I had stayed longer.
Yeah, it's the green grass syndrome. It is the entire issue of getting frustrated too quickly. It's the critic that you just don't want to deal with anymore. It's the bullies in the church, or maybe it's just that church that looks so much better because you don't know much about it. You know a whole lot about your church. You know, Jonathan, I've used the analogy at times, and I'm about to use a simile, but it's an analogy. It's like marriage, in some ways. A pastor in a church, they get to know, they have this honeymoon period.
Yeah.
They have this time where it seems like, oh, you're the greatest in the world, and then you get to know people. And the more you get to know people, the more you get to know not only the good, but also the bad and the ugly. And it's at that point, usually after a year or so, that pastors begin to say, I think I'm going to leave. And I cannot tell you, I really cannot tell you, how many pastors I have heard say, I wish I had stayed longer. You've heard me say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Particularly about my church in St. Petersburg, because there are multiple regrets related to that one. So, wish I'd stayed longer, but okay, let's look at the reality. What is the life cycle of a pastor? Year one is honeymoon. Year two to three is crisis and conflict. Sometime right around year four and five is kind of a going into the next phase, and then sometime around year five is the growth period. And very few pastors, I shouldn't say very few, a lot of pastors never make it to that fifth year when they begin to see some of the greatest fruit.
Those five to seven. Those years, man.
I wish I had stayed. I wish I had stayed longer. Because what happens? They go to another church, and they have to start all over, and they have the same problems, and they have the same people that, I mean, not the same people, the same comments
types of people,
with just different names to them. I was doing a coaching call this morning, and the pastor had just received an inquiry from another church, an opportunity to go to another church, larger, and he said, you know what? I was just dealing with this issue in my church, and it was a negative issue. I'm not going to reveal the contents of the negative issue. And he said, almost simultaneously, I get an email from this other church. Would you be interested? It's larger. It looks like it doesn't have all the headaches and all that. He said, I know better.
Don't even listen to that email.
He said, I'm staying right here. He said, yeah. He said, you know, when it's all said and done, this place is fantastic. This place is just fantastic.
Well, good.
So he's staying put. And that's a good example of someone that has the maturity to recognize that every church has its problems. I talked to another pastor 3 days ago, got a church offer, significantly larger church. He said, but why do I want to go? Because I love this church. Numbers are not everything. I love this church. And I love the attitude of many of millennials that are just saying they want to stay put where they are. God will move you sometimes, but many times we get ahead of God on that.
All right. Number two, I wish I had not lost my temper.
All right. Do you know my pastor story there?
It's the business meeting.
It was the business
meeting. Yelled at people.
Well, yelled at, yeah,
it's,
I did.
It's
yeah.
kind of whenever my wife says, stop yelling at the kids. I'm like, I'm not yelling. I'm speaking forcefully in a loud tone.
I was asking for a capital purchase. I think in our church, we had to bring it before the business meeting at $25,000 or above.
Oh, wow.
And if it's not budgeted. And I brought the capital purchase. I explained it all. And questions were coming out.
Can you say what it was?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
If I could remember.
And stop asking for details, Hal.
It will probably, I think I do remember what it is. We were running out of space. We were running out of space in classrooms.
All right.
And it was one of those huge units that you bring in, and it becomes four rooms, and we were buying several of them
for the gym. Like the mobile like quad things or something.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And we were putting them in the gym. And probably creating 16 more classrooms, I think, through the gym. That's my recollection of it. I think we were buying four of them, and they were soundproof and all that, yeah. And, you know, top-notch. Questions just coming all over the place. And I got fed up. I said, folks, you can ask questions all day long, but we've done our homework. Why don't you just trust me? Well, they ended up voting it in, but I lost a lot of chits that day. I really did. In fact, one guy came to meet with me the next day, and he never was my friend again.
Oh, and,
I mean, he was on my case from that point forward about everything. So not only did I lose one person in that, but he became an adversary as a result of that. I shouldn't have lost my temper.
Yeah. Oh, and I see how that could manifest itself so easily in churches,
right?
With ministerial staff, because you're in it day in, day out. You know exactly what you need, or think you know exactly what you need, and here it is. I've done the research. I've done it. Why can't you just trust me to do my job?
Yeah.
And you have all these other people, you know, at some point, you know, maybe looking like they're micromanaging you, and it could get frustrating. And I could see how that'd be easy to lose your temper in that situation.
Well, easy, but still not right.
No.
To have lost my temper. But
this is one of those things where you learn from somebody else's mistake and try not to make that mistake yourself.
Yeah. And I cannot say I haven't lost my temper since then, but I can say that was a very powerful lesson for me as a pastor, because it really did hurt my ministry. Mm-hmm. It really did.
Number three is one we see a lot. I wish I had put my family first.
Yeah. It's that thing that I say again and again. Don't dichotomize family and church. Don't put church in one bucket and family in another. Don't say I'm trying to balance my time between family and church, because what you're saying is church and family are separate. No, family is the first line of ministry in the church. If you're not ministering to your family, Paul would tell Timothy, if you're not managing your family, how can you expect to lead the church? Same principle, if you're not ministering to your family, they should be the first people to whom you minister. Your spouse, your children, those in your family that need your ministry first. And gosh, how many times have we heard it? How many times have I blown that? Oh, I've got to go do this. I don't know. I'm sure because you've heard my story so many times, Jonathan, the McDonald's and Sam story. He says he doesn't remember it, but I think he does. I think he's just repressed it because it's so cruel. Anyway, I took a kid out every Saturday morning. That was my routine. And we were in our church in St. Petersburg where we were dead broke. And the most I could do on a early lunch was to go to McDonald's. Of course, Sam, probably 8 years old at the time, was all excited because it was his turn. I get a phone call, marriage problem. You've got to come meet with me now. You've got to come talk to us now. It's an emergency. I hung up the phone and I said, buddy, I'm going to have to take you some other time. This is an emergency. And the look on his face is just etched in my memory forever. I mean, incredible disappointment. And guess what? We didn't go, and the marriage ended up failing anyway. I thought I was super savior for everybody. Look, if a marriage was a crisis, right at 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning, it could have still been a crisis at 2 p.m. and I could have come then. I did not have to come then. Mm. I did not put my family first. Certainly, there are times where people are on their deathbed or there's been an accident, but too many times I did not put my family first. I have regrets on that.
So what's the overcoming on that one? Is just making it a priority?
Like anything, you have to be proactive. Yeah. On going the other way. Let's just look at this one. You know, how to overcome the idea of staying longer? Well, you can say just stay longer.
A lot of these feel like you're Bob Newhart, you know.
Yeah, stop it. But what you can say is just review with yourself on number one, I wish I'd stayed longer. Review with yourself, look, if I go to another place, it's going to be the same set of problems with different people. Don't go to another church to get away from problems. Go to another church if it's a clear sense of God's call. Same thing with losing your temper. Think about it. If you're in a setting and you can feel it coming on, say, I will regret anything that I've ever said. I don't want to get too personal, so you don't have this. This is just rhetorical. But have you been in a situation with Beth where the words came out and you wanted to just bring them back in immediately?
Every husband listening to this
yes.
says,
yeah, I've been that way with Nellie Joe, and the words come out. I'm thinking to myself, you are so incredibly stupid. And by the time the words came out, the next thing you want to do is start defending them. You know, I was right to say those. So just have an awareness when you start feeling your temper beginning to get on edge that, hey, restraint will get you a lot of blessings. And then putting family first is always putting family first.
Yeah. All right. Number four, I wish I had accepted a raise.
Too many pastors decline raises. It's amazing to me. I've been one. Others have declined raises. And it feels like you're doing it for the good of the church, but it's not for the good of the church. You're hurting the next pastor that comes along mm-hmm. because you're bringing the pay down. You're putting yourself in a position where you may not be financially able to support your family, and therefore you're not going to do ministry well in the church. We're not talking about outrageous raises here. I know very few churches.
Cost of living type things.
Yes. And pastors feel they're noble in saying, I'm not going to accept that raise. You know what? Nobody notices that. Nobody notices that nobility except your family, except your spouse. They're the only ones that notice it.
And they're like, why'd you do that?
And tell me again why you turned that raise down.
Because a lot of times, I mean, just say if you're making, just to make the math easy, if you're talking $50,000 and you get a 2% cost of living adjustment, mm-hmm. that's $1,000 a year. That's $80 a month.
That's right.
That's not an outrageous raise.
Yes.
But it's just that one extra, maybe two extra tanks of gas a month or something like that.
Sometimes it can be an ego thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to turn it down.
Yeah. All right, number five, I wish I had said no more often. Now, this is the people-pleasing pastor.
Yeah, talking to the pastor whom I mentioned just a few minutes ago on a coaching call. Sometimes these things are very fresh because I'm coming right off of a coaching call
feedback
with the pastor.
Loop, baby.
Yeah, it is a feedback loop. And he's telling me two incredible things that he's doing with to reach out in his community. One of them is riding with police. in the community so that he can be there for death calls and other things. But in other words, he's touching the community for that. And then he told me about another thing where he's touching for the community. Well, that means he has to say no to a lot of other things, and he's feeling that pressure because he's saying no to these other things.
Yeah.
And he said, but you know, the more I realize this, it's forcing me to equip the saints to do the work of ministry.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep. And he said, so I'm putting more and more of this ministry into the hands of capable people and not thinking that I have to do it all. Yep. And he said, I wish I'd known this younger. I said, well, you're still relatively young, and you probably know who I'm talking about. And I don't know what age he is, but he's still relatively young.
Yeah. We also just came through a season where saying no is really hard.
Yeah.
With the Christmas season, because you have a lot of Christmas things going on in the church.
Parties.
You get a lot of social invites. And it's sometimes it's easier to say no to work type things than it is to social type things.
Oh, yeah. We just want you to stop there for a minute.
Just swing by.
Yeah. You know what a swing by becomes? 45 minutes.
Hours. Yeah. Yeah. Usually there's nice food, so.
Well, you'd be eating the food, and people would be coming up to me, and I'd be crawling under the table to try to find out how I could get away without being seen.
Hey, if your pastor won't come to your Christmas party, I will. Jonathan at Church Answers.
If there's no food served?
Well, then the pastor can come.
Okay.
So I'm just there for the food.
I understand.
So, the fellowship, you know. I'm a good Baptist. I'm there for the fellowship,
which
means food. All right, and finally, I wish I had sought help from me personally.
Yeah. Pastors need counseling. Pastors go through depression. I have been watching closely one pastor who has been, one leader who's been talking about this on Facebook, Mark Clifton.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's been talking about pastors going through depression because he said that that's an affliction that he has from time to time.
Yeah.
I'm not revealing personal information. It's out there on Facebook.
And he's also dealing with pastors in dying churches.
Yes.
99% of the pastors he's dealing with are in replant and revitalization situations that aren't good.
Yeah.
And you would think that would be more likely to happen to a pastor in that situation than one that's in a church that's booming. I mean, those churches and pastors do have
issues as well. We've known a number of pastors who went into the depths of despair when everything on the surface looked great for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we hear about that, but sometimes it's the ego. Sometimes it is the fear that if someone finds out, they'll think we're too weak and we shouldn't pass. And quite frankly, there are some church members out there who say, if my pastor needs help, if my pastor has some type of depression problem, he's too weak to pastor.
They're broke.
Yeah, they're broken. You know, they're too broken to help us.
But that could also be seeking help. It could just be you don't feel equipped to do ministry in your current context or in today's church versus the church 20 years ago.
Yep.
And you see your church is lagging behind because you don't know how to lead it through today's environment, today's culture.
One of the most rewarding comments on Church Answers came, say, 3 months ago. I don't remember exactly, but it came in 2018 anyway. And it was someone who feared signing up for Church Answers.
Oh.
He just said, I feared that would demonstrate a weakness.
Oh, because I'm having to get help.
Because I'm having to get help and ask questions. And
that's what we're here for.
But he said it has been so liberating to be at Church Answers Central and to have the camaraderie of other pastors and other leaders. And it's just been fun to watch him begin to develop. So that's another case of a pastor not willing to get help. Pastors need coaching. Pastors need help all the time.
Yeah.
And they need counseling at times.
And that's why we do the podcast, too.
Yeah,
that's the free version.
Yeah, it's the what?
The free version.
There you go.
So to speak.
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's why we do blog posts and other things. So it's all good. It is all good.
All right. And so when we look at these, any other regrets that you may think of?
Well, I can think of a lot of situations within each of these, but when it's all said and done, these are my top six as well. So let's go back and look at each of these just one more time and to make sure we are being true to the overcoming them. Staying longer, don't look at the green grass.
Yeah.
Just have a real lost my temper. Know what your trigger points are.
Oh, that's good.
Understand.
Self-awareness
of your trigger points. And if you can feel them coming on, just show restraint. Just do that. Putting your family first is being highly proactive because you know what we do? We often forget to put our family first. It's not as natural for us.
On this one?
Yes.
Ask your spouse.
Oh, Will you ask my spouse for me? Because I don't want to ask her. Hey,
you're putting her first tonight.
Wait a minute. You mean going to see Christmas Lights?
Uh-huh.
Did I say I was going?
Well, you're going to go because she's going to say, Thomas, we're going with Jess and Rachel to see Christmas Lights.
Okay. Forgive me for being Scrooge on Christmas Day. But why can't you just watch those things on a video?
Because it's about the experience. The grandkids. I mean, it's going to be fun.
I'm probably not going to be in the car with the grandkids because there's too many of them.
I mean, they could ride with you and Jelly Joe could ride with Jess
Rachel
and Rachel.
Won't let them ride because we don't have the car seats. Well, and we're not going to move the car seats. Quit arguing with me. And so putting the family first, accepting a raise. Again, we're not talking about outrageous amounts. We're just talking about normal cost of living, maybe a little more. Learn that you're never going to please everybody. That's the big thing behind saying no more often. And then if you need help, if you need it on matters of depression, matters of coaching, counseling, whatever, get help.
And if you need training,
get a degree from Midwestern Seminary.
There you go. Their 81-hour MDiv gives you a complete foundation for full-time ministry, offering you everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on a local church and study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Merry Christmas, Dr. Rainer.
Merry Christmas to you, Jonathan. Here's the text. Here are the texts. Our crew is going to such and such and see Christmas Lights. Would you like to join us? Nellie Joe responds, yes, I would like that. Jess has now responded, great, Dad. No pressure, but we'd love to have you come if you can make it. Nellie Joe responds, he's doing podcasts right now. I'm sure he would love to come. Oh.
Yes. I can't wait
to hear
Merry Christmas, Dr. Rainer.
Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Amy J. in the production studio, Merry Christmas to you and to all of our listeners. May this Christmas be your best and may 2019 be used of God to make a great difference in your life and your church.
Thanks again for joining us here on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network in iTunes. You can subscribe there at iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we're growing healthy churches together. What does it mean for God's Word to be effective? Christianity Today and the Christian Standard Bible have partnered together to answer this very question. Join host Richard Clark as he looks for the hidden history of the Bible, wrestles with tough questions, and explores what the future holds for the church. Listen and subscribe to Living in Effective wherever you get your podcast. Living in Effective was created in partnership with the Christian Standard Bible, a Bible translation that is accurate to the original languages, readable for all reading levels, and meant to be shared with others.